8. Jesus has finished speaking about himself as the light of the world, and that unless they were to believe in him, they would die in their sins. And it says in verse 30 that as Jesus was saying these things, many believed in him. So verse 31, John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." Of course, they were currently enslaved to the Romans. "How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." And we'll stop just there. Here's a remarkable passage where Jesus contrasts himself with Satan. That in Jesus is truth and freedom, but not so with the devil. In fact, there is no truth in the devil. He is a liar from the beginning. So all who do not believe Jesus are in bondage to Satan and to sin, and are not of the truth. They are enslaved to sin. Everyone who practices sin, Jesus says here, is a slave to sin, is in bondage to that sin. When I was looking at this passage, I thought, the things that come out of this for me are that in Jesus, there is safety, there is security, there is freedom, there is deliverance, there is redemption, there is salvation. And when I thought, well, how do you package all of that together? So many wonderful thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. It came into my mind that here we find Jesus, I think, saying in one sense of himself that he is a refuge for his people. Now, you know, a refuge is a very interesting thing. In the Bible, you find, for instance, in the Old Testament, in Joel chapter 3, verse 16, that the Lord is a refuge for his people. And God is a very present help to us in our time of need, because God is, Psalm 46, our refuge and our strength. And the Old Testament talks a lot about finding refuge in Christ. And when you think about refuge, that means that's the place I go to for safety. That's the place I go to for security. The Bible says that God is like a strong tower to his people. We run to him. We're safe in him. And a refuge is a place where we find rest, where we find that we are away from the troubles of the world. We are under, as it were, the picture of Jesus that he used about a hen, a mother hen with her chicks under. They're safe. They're secure. I've often wondered what it's like to be under a mother hen's wings as a chick, you know? They're not troubled about anything. They just crouch down. Perhaps it's a little dark for them, but there's safety in that. They're not worried about what's out there. They know that the moment they venture out there, they are troubled by what they encounter out there. So they flee back to the mother hen who gathers them in and protects them, and she is a refuge to them. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ says to Jerusalem, I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. You preferred to stay out there, and you preferred to be in the world, and you preferred to face all the onslaughts of Satan and the world that it brings to you, but not with me. If you come to me and find your refuge in me and your rest in me, then you are safe, then you are secure. In one sense, because we are Christians, when we come together as the church like we do tonight, we recognize, we feel instinctively that we are in Christ, safe in Christ, his people gathering together. There's something special about that. We can all go and stand out in the parking lot in one sense, or have a few small groups of ourselves in different places. It feels not quite like this, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an affinity, a unity with each other. We recognize it wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves. And so if I meet you in the street or meet you in the store, that is a great thing, isn't it? It gives something to bring joy to you, to uplift you, because you meet a fellow brother and sister in Christ. Here we all have the privilege now, tonight, to find ourselves in such a position. And because we've come to worship the Lord, we express that in a variety of ways as we talk with each other. We might say something about this or something about that, but we are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because we are in Him. And the New Testament and the Bible at large are very strong on our union with Christ. It is because of our union that we always have communion. There can be no fellowship, no communion without that groundwork of union established. And Jesus did that in his death, in his redemption, in his work on the cross, in his sacrifice for us. It is that place, the cross, that we will always find refuge. And the Christ of the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ. The moment we venture from that, we get into all kinds of difficulty and all kinds of trouble. How much we need Christ. So a refuge is a very interesting place, a very interesting thing. Now, will you notice in this passage, in verse 31 of John chapter 8, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So notice that we are, first of all, to remain in Christ. The moment you leave and go off on yourself, you get into trouble. Jesus said, if you abide in my words, you stay close by, they have a grip on you, they're always in you and you are always under them. If you abide, the word abide means to remain, to stay. So you don't go too far, you stay, you remain in the words of the Lord Jesus. And notice it's a condition, if you abide in me, Jesus says. So here's a passage that's telling me that if I remain in Christ, I am proving that I am a disciple. That's the first thing. Because Jesus says, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples. So to remain in Christ is the same as saying you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here are Jews who are very confident of their lineage to Abraham. Abraham is our father. We belong to Abraham. That means we belong to the covenant that God made with Abraham. We belong to God. We are God's. Nothing can change that. And Jesus is going to remind them that the works that they do not portray that claim that they are of their father Abraham. Because if you were of your father Abraham, you would believe me. You would be in me. And of course, they weren't that at all. They were of their father the devil, which is a shocking statement by Jesus to make. So if I am to find my refuge always in Christ, I must remain in Christ. Because Jesus says, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples. You really are my disciples. So, number one, I must remain in Christ. But not only that, but Jesus says, if you do that, you gain the knowledge of Christ. You gain knowledge of me. Verse 32, and you will know the truth. You will know the truth. So now I know the truth, which is to have this knowledge of Christ. And this is true, isn't it? In our conversion, in our salvation, we come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we recognize that we are children or infants in our knowledge. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We develop from infancy to maturity over life in our sanctification by the Holy Spirit. But it's always the truth. It's never the truth and something else. It's never Jesus and something else. It's always exactly the same. It's unchanged. Your entire Christian life from the moment of conversion to the moment of resurrection, or let's say your death, that entire life is a commitment to this one principle, unchanged, to be in Christ, to remain in Christ, to find in Christ my rest, my refuge. I've been a Christian now for more than 50 years, and it's exactly the same in that sense, that Christ is still Christ to me, that the truth is still the truth to me. I appreciate its beauties every day. They grip my soul, they lay hold of me, I am affected by them, I am challenged by them, and I pray that by God's grace I'm changed by them. But the good thing about that is that the truth never changes. If you abide in my words, which are unchanging because they're the truth, this knowledge of me, if you persist in knowing me, which is simply to know the truth, then Jesus says, thirdly in the text, the truth will set you free. And that's deliverance by Christ. I'm to remain in Christ, I'm to have the knowledge of Christ, and I am delivered by Christ. What is it that helps me when I face the challenges of the world or the challenges of the flesh or Satan's temptation himself? What is it that helps? It's the truth that has already set me free. It's Christ Jesus, who is truth itself, that sets me free, that enables me to fall back on Christ and to fall back on the truth again and again as I am assaulted by the world, by the flesh, and by the devil himself. Here are Jews who think they know God, but Jesus says, you don't know God, my Father, you don't know Him. Here are Jews who think they are right with God, but they are not right with God because they don't know the truth of God, which is standing right in front of them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't that Pilate's problem? What is truth? There He was, our Lord Jesus, right in front of Him, the truth, standing before Him. If only the scales were removed from his eyes, he would have seen the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what has happened to us, you see, in our conversion. The scales, the sins, they have been forgiven and removed and taken away, and our eyes are now open. We're no longer blind. We're no longer dead in our trespasses and sins, but we are alive in Christ. We have been set free by Jesus. And that to me is a refuge that I come back to every day of my life. That I can't get away from it. That I just, the cross and being in the Lord Jesus Christ is that which helps me over and over and over again. So the Lord is a refuge to His people. How good that is, right? I must remain in Him. I must abide in His words, the things that He has said. I must pay attention to them. I must believe what He has said, receive what He has said. Not be like these Jews who it says they believed in Him, but the moment Jesus began to talk more seriously about sin and that if you practice sin, you're a slave to sin, they began to fall back on their heritage. Well, we're not like that. We're not sinners. We are Abraham's children. They forgot who Jesus was, and they forgot who Abraham was and what Abraham did and what our Lord Jesus Christ is calling them to do. They didn't really believe, did they? All right, will you turn over now to John chapter 15? So if you abide in my words, and in John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me. Now, this is the only two times you read this condition. If you abide in my words, if you abide in me, if you abide. So Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And notice how the in me part and my words part are together, right? You can't separate. If I abide in Jesus, don't worry about his word. No. To abide in the Lord Jesus Christ is to have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I abide in him and I abide in his words together. So Jesus, as we know, we've looked at this passage so many times. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. So my prayer life on the surface is affected by abiding in Christ and by his words abiding in me. But this is not really about my prayer life, this passage. This passage is all about the branch remaining in the vine. Because if the branch does not remain in the vine, it withers and dies. And Jesus uses the vine and the branch picture to represent the disciples and himself, that if we abide in him, then we are of the branches, we belong to him. And Jesus says a number of times, abide in me, I in you, abide in me, remain in me, stay in me, and so on. Now, I say this is not a passage about prayer. That's an application that comes out in verse 7. But only if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish doesn't mean that you just pray for anything. No, we always must pray according to the word and to the will of God. And then God performs what we ask of him because we're in sync with him. We desire his kingdom and desire his will. But what I want you to notice about this passage is that Jesus is telling us two things here. Number one, you must receive me and you must receive my words. You must remain in me and you must remain in my words. So I receive the words of Jesus. I receive Jesus in regeneration, in conversion, in salvation. But I remain in Jesus and in his words in sanctification unto glorification. So that what Jesus is ultimately saying here is that there are many who would say, I am of Christ, I believe, but yet tomorrow give evidence that they don't believe, and the rest of their life they turn away. And how many false professions there have been throughout human history. That was what the problem was in John chapter 8. A false profession taken up with Abraham and not taken up with the Son of God who came from his Father to speak to them. So if you receive me and you receive my words, then remain in me and remain in my words. This is another reason why I recognize that my Bible is so essential for my Christian experience in life, because it is here that I find the words of God to me. I find Christ and his word to me. And I remain in it and I rest in it. And when I do that, I'm safe and I'm secure. So when I am troubled, that's why, you know, sometimes you find in the back of these of little New Testaments, you know, if your heart is troubled, here are these verses. If you're burdened down with some guilt, here are these verses. And those are very beneficial to us because that's exactly what the Word of God does for us. We can go to the Word of God and read a variety of words that have a variety of applications to all of our lives. All of Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for so many applications to us, that the man of God, that the woman of God may be built up, edified, strong in the truth and in the faith. But only if I remain in Christ. So I've received him. That's conversion. But I remain in him. That's confession. To prove. Because this is a passage, as I said, not about prayer, but about fruit bearing. And the bearing of fruit is only if the branch remains in the vine. So if the branch disconnects from the vine, it withers and dies and perishes, there's no fruit. Because fruit is the evidence that I have received life from the vine and that I remain in the vine. I'm still attached. And that is my sanctification for the rest of my days, that I remain attached to the vine. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. That's what Jesus is saying to us tonight. Remain in me. You've received me. Remain in me. Stay in me. And then you will bear fruit. And if you, you'll notice in the first opening verses, he talks about bearing fruit, bearing much fruit. Without me, you can't bear fruit. Without me, you can do nothing, which is related to bearing the fruit. But he says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, notice the conditions again, right? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We would be just like the Lord Jesus Christ if we abide in him, because he abode in his Father and his words and in his love. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And here to me is the real heart of being a Christian. Because I've made confession, because I am converted, regenerated, the life of Christ in me, this life of the vine in me, the branch, and in you, the branches, Jesus says that I've said these things to you so that my joy would be in you. And the result of my joy in you is that your joy is overflowing, is full. And that's a glorious thing, isn't it? That I can be a joyful Christian. Because there are too many Christians that are despondent. Too many Christians that are filled with misery and the problems that they have and all of that. Surely if Jesus has spoken to us and if I've received his words, then surely I must be the happiest of all men. The happiest of all men, the most rejoicing of all men. Even though God may take us like Job through excruciating troubles and trials. Yet you know the interesting thing about Job, he does not abandon God. He remains steadfast. Oh, if you take this hedge that you've put around him, Satan says he'll curse you to your face. And that's not what Job did at all when the hedge was removed. You see, the joy of Christ in us is that which is bearing fruit, or the fruit that's been produced in us is this joy that we have because we have received his word and we have received Christ. The greatest expression we have of saying thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ for that is to go back to where it happened, to the cross, to remind ourselves without the cross, you don't have this. You don't have freedom. The truth will set you free. You don't have deliverance from your sins. You don't have fruit bearing. You don't have joy, the joy of Christ, if we bypass the cross. That is why Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper, so that we never forget that all the privileges that we have in him come to us by virtue of his sacrifice on the cross for us. So that when I remember Jesus dying for me, his life for my life, my sins laid upon his shoulders, his righteousness imputed to me, I'm free. And I'm filled with joy that my sins are forgiven, that I have this new life in Christ. Every time we eat the bread and every time we drink the cup, that's what we remind ourselves of, that Jesus has saved us and delivered us and set us free and given us his joy. And in that we are bearing fruit. On we go. You notice in John 15, Jesus says to his disciples in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So Jesus chose them to bear fruit. And how do you bear fruit, Jesus? And that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my name, he may give it to you. The fruit abides when you abide in the vine, the branch remaining attached, drawing all the necessary sap from that vine to itself. We remain attached to Christ then because he has attached us to himself. And as a result of that, we bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. You wouldn't be here, I don't think, if you were not serious about the Lord Jesus Christ. You wouldn't be here if you were not serious about the things of God and the things of Christ. These things matter to us. And that is why I have to come to the table, because in coming to the table, I find my refuge so sure, my resting place so beautiful because of what Jesus did at the cross. So Jesus says to us tonight, come. Come eat of me and drink of me. Remind yourself of who I am and of what I've done for you. Remain in me. Stay with me. Let my joy be in you. Let my love fill you so that you can serve me and please me. And if my words and I abide in you, then ask what you wish and it shall be done for you. That's to bear fruit and to remain in the love of Christ. And every time we eat and drink, we remind ourselves of this wonderful love that Jesus had for us. Let's take our hymnals and turn again to number 115. 115, Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts. We'll sing all the verses. What a beautiful hymn, right? Brother Mick, if you would assist me at the table.